What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Salty Huntsman Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Taylor. Yeah, so this week on the podcast, I have Christopher Lindquist. He is a Michigan hunter. He's a generalist. He does a lot in the outdoors. He does a little bit of everything, and he has a lot of success doing it. I went to college with this guy. I met him up at Lake Superior State University. I didn't go for very long. I went there for a couple years, and then I came back in the military. It's a pretty good conversation. It starts off kind of slow, I'm not going to lie, but if you guys could just speed through it, it'll be all right. Trust me. This is like all brand new to me. I know I've done episodes before on the Veterans Trapping Lions podcast, but this is my first time actually like interviewing people, talking to people. So it's going to be kind of rough, but I appreciate everyone that sticks through all of this with me. It's a huge learning curve, but I really appreciate it. I appreciate everyone's support. I don't know if you guys noticed, but there are no ads and there's not going to be any ads. I know I always bring it up. I guess the only thing that I ask is that you guys go and give a 5-star review on Spotify, and when it's up on Apple, you write a review. That's all I really require. I appreciate it, guys. And yeah, we'll get into the podcast. Thank you guys for listening, as always. All right, everyone, welcome to the Salty Huntsman Podcast. Today, my guest is Christopher Lindquist. I went to Lake Superior State University with this guy for a year, I think. I don't know. It didn't go very long. But he's a Michigan dude, big in the outdoors. So I figured, you know, fuck it, might as well have him on. So yeah, Chris, I don't know, I guess introduce yourself.
Chris Lindquist, Michigan guy. Like Justin said, him and I went to Lake State and did nothing but hunt and fish and drink beer and sleep in and not go to class together.
Right on, yeah. So, what do you do for work now? Are you just a bum or what?
No, I am a pipeline operator for Wisconsin Energy. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
Big shit.
Work a rotating shift. Get a lot of time off to hunt and fish. So, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. So, have you hunted any other state besides Michigan?
No, I haven't.
No. So, how long, you've been, you started hunting when you were a kid, right?
Yeah, I pretty much as long as I can remember, I've been going up to deer camp. I have one memory of my dad shooting a buck and my mom letting us know and then greeting him at the front door as soon as he came home. Obviously, no deer with him, but that's one of my earlier hunting memories, I guess you could say. That one sticks out in my mind. And then ever since then, yeah, we went up north with them when we were able to. I was probably 10 years old first time I went up to deer camp.
Yeah, see, it's different for me because I grew up with it, but the concept of deer camp to me didn't resonate in my mind, I guess. I never had the, you know, I honestly didn't even know it existed, like, until I was in high school, and one of my buddies, his dad, they have a deer camp up by, like, it's up there by Manistee. It's up that way.
Yep.
Can't remember. I don't know the town exactly, but it's up by Manistee. And I remember him being like, he was like, yeah, he's like, oh, I'm not going to be in school for, you know, whatever. And I'm like, why? And he was like, oh, I'm going to deer camp. And I was like, what the fuck is deer camp? Like, I just had no idea what it even was. And that it was even a thing, I guess, because we just grew up, you know, just on our farm hunting. And that's pretty much, like, what we stuck to. Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah, I thought it was weird that people didn't go to deer camp.
Right.
I mean, I guess that, you know, kind of my baseline, just going to deer camp every single year. Yeah. I remember getting off the bus and dad's truck was still in the driveway. So I knew that I was hopping rated and going up north.
Yeah, no, I went to my buddies, the same buddy that I just talked about. I went to his a couple times and I don't know. I guess that's my only deer camp experience, but, well, I've been to yours too, but we didn't really, it was just us two. It wasn't like, you know, I don't know. Like, the way you're talking about yours is how, like, my buddies is. Like, everybody goes there, and they hunt and stuff. And I know a lot of people drink and don't wake up. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say, is it a deer camp or a beer camp?
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what my buzz was.
Ours was always like no beer. Nobody in our camp drank. Which, I mean, that's what the guys wanted, anyways. It was literally just sit around, tell stories, listen to the radio, play cribbage.
I haven't heard opening, that in a long time.
Opening night, everybody would always come out to camp. Grandma, Aunt Shannon, Gary Fuelis, the Robertsons, all the neighbors. And that kind of dropped off. I don't know what year that kind of petered out, but me and my uncle were just talking about it. It's kind of sad. It's not what it used to be. People are just too busy these days, and nobody wants to sit around and talk about the good old days.
Yeah, no. So it's funny that you say that, because I remember, like, growing up, and we didn't have deer camp, but my family, my mom's side of the family, still owns, like, hundreds of acres. I'm not going to say thousands, but enough to where everybody could hunt comfortably and not be up each other's ass. And, one thing that I noticed that stopped, I'd say, like, in the early 2000s that stopped, was when somebody got a deer, they would, you know, drive around to everybody's house in the afternoon and show them the deer that they shot, you know, in the back of their truck. Yeah. And that doesn't happen anymore, at least with us, like, nobody does it. And so I feel like that's when everything kind of stopped. And maybe, you know, maybe social media has something to do with it, because now you can just put your picture online. You don't have to go show anybody shit.
Yeah, I think it's maybe, like, the commercialization of hunting. Like, it's, like, not really a tradition anymore. It's more of a commercialized thing. Yeah. I mean, nobody in my family ever shot big bucks. It was just about getting your deer. It wasn't about, I don't know. It's really annoying nowadays. It's just totally fallen flat on its face, I think.
Yeah, no, like, so my first buck, I was 13, I was hunting with my dad, and we were in a ground blind, and it was opening day of gun season. And a spike was running a doe, and I had a muzzleloader, and it was running across this bean field, and I told my dad, I was like, Dad, you know, there's a deer. I don't know what he was doing or whatever, dozing off. And he was like, well, do you want to shoot it? And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to shoot it. Like, I didn't say that, but, you know, I was like, yeah, you know. So I shot the spike, and, you know, it was the craziest thing ever. Like, I dropped it, deadness, shot it in the neck, dropped it, and it let out, like, this death grunt, and I've never heard anything like that in my life. It was just like, rah! And I was like, what the fuck? Like, they all do that, you know? You know, later on in life, I realized, no, they don't. But the crazy thing about it was, though, it was only a spike, right? And I was 13, but it seemed like everybody in my family came over to see it.
Yeah, a deer was a deer.
Yeah.
Back in those days.
Yeah, and it was, like, super important that everybody did that, you know? And you know, like, I did it with other people, too. Like, my dad would go and look at, like, my cousin's deer or whatever, you know? And we would all, like, get in the truck and go look, or they'd swing by in their truck and, you know, be like, hey, come look at this, you know?
Stand around the old buck pole.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like, that doesn't happen anymore. Like, I had a conversation with this guy that I've been talking to on Instagram, and we talked about the old cork boards where your Polaroids would go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was kind of like your, you know, like your wall, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
I still see a few of those around, you know, smaller sporting goods stores and whatnot, local stores. But, yeah, nowadays it's all social media, plastered on social media. And then you do see people that have a deer on social media and, you know, they got the ears pinned back, or, you know, they have some great story how it was a management buck, or, you know, not the one they were looking for. I mean, the buck that I shot this year, I didn't even post it, because not necessarily because it was a smaller deer, which it was, but just what I went through to shoot that deer, I wasn't going to have somebody belittle me on social media, and I wasn't going to even put it out there just because nobody else knew what I went through to get that deer. It was more of a, it was just a personal deer, and it, that hunt really made me realize what I was out there for. I guess I'm just getting older too. Every year is different. I hunt slower. It's, I don't know, I'm not even really out there to shoot a deer, but I end up shooting deer.
Right. No, I was going to say, I remember, I think what we first met in 2016, 2015, 2016, something like that. And, man, I remember hunting with you and I was like, dude, this fucking guy like has like a 4 foot stride and
yeah,
he goes, and I'm like, dude, this is not my style. Like, no way.
Was that when we were hunting the marsh on the backside of the campground up there?
We hunted all over the eastern UP, I feel like. I mean, a lot of spots.
You had your muzzleloader. I had my 308.
That was such a stupid hunt when I think about it. It was so dumb. Like,
I sat in there bow hunting, and I saw a deer. Like, it's a campground thing. I don't know why, but deer just love campgrounds.
Oh, like, I know after why. Because nobody messes with them, man.
Well, that, and I think it's because of the oaks. I think that there's, like, less of a canopy in those campgrounds. So the oak trees or the mast trees that are in there, like, they're dropping.
Oh, for sure. I think there's
just a shit ton of food in there.
Yeah, and, you know,
that, and no people.
Right. And that's what campgrounds do. You know, if you go to a campground, inherently a lot of them are probably going to be, like, some sort of, like, nut-bearing tree because they're sturdier and they're not going to, you know.
But there was a massive buck track going out into that marsh.
Oh, and I do remember that marsh. Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we went down in there after that buck and did not set it up at all. We did hear something come up out of there.
They're all, yep, you're right.
And then that guy down the road shot.
Yep.
So he probably had like a fleeting chance at it.
That's true. Probably yeah, just, I totally forgot about that.
Probably saw white. It was, dude, that was a heavy deer. That was a big, heavy track. I know that was a decent deer.
Yeah. No, I remember that. All I remember is like the part where we were just like setting up for no reason. And I was like, man, what are we doing in here? Like, we were on the ground. And I was just thinking, like, dude, this doesn't make any sense. But now I do remember walking through all of that shit. And that area is, that's some thick, nasty stuff.
That was kind of my first go at it too. Like, I knew that I needed to get in those marshes, get down in there with those deer, but yeah, I just didn't really know how. And we probably had the wind at our back, something stupid like that too.
Yeah. No,
looking at it now, we totally could have set that up as like a little mini push.
Oh, absolutely. Like that. That's what I was exactly what I was going to say. Thinking about how I hunted then compared to how I hunt now, two totally different people.
Like, yeah, me too.
Just with playing the wind, you know, thinking like, you know, where is this deer going to be? Like, not where is the deer at, but where is it going to be? You know, stuff like that. Yeah. Like, no, like back then it was more or less just like, oh, you know, let's just send it and see what happens. And then usually nothing happens. Like, yeah.
Wind, and it seems like I pay attention to the sun too. Like, if it's sunny out, I mean, they're kind of like cats or dogs.
Yeah.
You see them laying on your kitchen floor, you know, laying right in the sun.
Yeah.
I mean, we might not think anything of it, but a 1 or 2, 3 degree difference to a deer, like, they're out there every single day trying to survive. So
right,
they're naturally going to gravitate to a warmer, sunnier spot. Or even, I mean, in the summertime, they're gravitating towards a cooler spot. It's no different.
Absolutely. Another thing I noticed too is that a lot of people don't hunt really windy days. And last year I shot 2 deer on a super windy day. And then this year I shot 1 of my bow on a super windy day. And I don't know. I just kind of like always grew up with the mentality of like, oh, it's like really windy. Like, don't go out because all the deer are going to be laying down and all this. I don't know. That was just like the lore, I guess. But like hunting windy days, like deer are moving all over the place.
Like, yeah,
I think they get super spooked or super sketched, like, because they know, they're like, if I just sit here, something's probably going to sneak up on me and get me.
Like, yeah, they, if you start taking away one of their senses, they're going to try to do something to put another scent or another sense in their favor. Like you're saying with the windy days, like they got to get up and get somewhere where they can see and where they can hear. Cause it's hearing too.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely. No, that's what I thought was crazy. Cause last year I shot on public land. I shot that doe and that 6-point all on the same day. And it was like super windy. And I was like, almost getting blown out of my stand. And that was during gun season though. But then this past year I was remember when that huge wind gust went through all of Michigan and everybody's like, they were like, oh, it's like 40, 50 mile an hour winds or whatever. Yeah. It was like early November. That's when I shot that 8-point. And I mean, I seen tons of deer that day, but not only that, it was also early November and deer moving a lot at that time.
Oh yeah.
But also I was just like, you know, like I was telling people like, yeah, I got to get these traps in the ground because I want to hunt this evening. And everybody's like, you're going hunting this evening. You're going to get blown out of your stand. And I'm like, dude, I just think that it's probably one of the best times to go when it's super windy.
I had a day where I left work early because it was wet, it was raining, and it was super windy, and I just started creeping. I didn't know where I was going to go, what I was going to do, but I knew I had to hunt. Just had that feeling.
Right.
Sure enough, start creeping through the woods, and ended up shooting an 8-point that was sitting in his bed, staring at me.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear me. Couldn't really see me, just sitting there looking at me. Just popped him.
Was that the one from like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, the more that you can take the ball out of their court and put it in yours, that's how you got to hunt. You got to take advantage of those days.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, there hasn't been very many, like, really good, like, picture-perfect, sunny, like, awesome days where I've honestly, like, killed. I don't know. And if I do, it's in the morning. It's never usually on an evening hunt because I feel like if those deer are feeling good, then that gives them less of a reason to move. And like where most of the places I hunt are on the edge of something really thick. So it's like on a really nice day, I don't want to go down in there. I mean, that's when they're tuned in. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. You're just going to blow them out. You know, then it becomes like more of a waiting game. You know, when perfect conditions happen, and I'm fine playing the waiting game. Like, honestly, like, maybe it's, like, the military or whatever, the whole hurry up and wait thing, but like, I've talked to people, and they're like, dude, I can't do all-day sits. I'm only good for, like, 2 or 3 hours. And I'm like, dude, I could sit there all day if I want to. Like, even if it's cold, I don't care. If it's raining, that's the only thing that I really don't like is sitting in the rain. But if it's raining, I usually move. Like, I usually do the like slow stalk. I don't know, some people call it still hunting or whatever, but I try to use that to my advantage. But other than that,
I try to, on a wet day, I try to cover as much ground as I can just because I can get away with it. And if you're popping, you know, all those twigs are damp, so if you're popping twigs while you're walking around, it's not nearly as bad either.
Right, soft leaves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All that for sure. Yeah. So you don't, I guess I should say, what's your opinion on, like cell cameras?
Cell cams. I know that's like all anybody has anymore. And that's what the guys at work have. And they're just chilling and all their pictures start popping in. And I mean, it's a great tool. I kind of want to get one, but I don't think I would ever set it up in a spot that I actually plan on hunting. I mean, I would put it on like a known travel corridor, but with me, any sort of disturbance that you leave, even cell cameras, I don't know, man, with the infrared, and I feel like deer sense that they're there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So you've never used cameras before?
No.
You're the only person that
I borrowed one once this year and had it up for like 3 days and got zero pictures on it, and it was just like a pain in the ass to take it out, take it down, switch out my little card deal, and I gave it a shot for like 3 days, but I was like, yeah, this really isn't me.
Yeah, I mean, most people, they just leave theirs up like all year in the same spot, and they just go out there and check it every couple months. If it's just an SD card one, but yeah, I mean, I don't picture you really using them anyways. I mean, just like you said, how you don't even like post your animals on social media and I don't blame you. I mean, I post my stuff. I mean, I'm guilty of it, but I don't know. I have tons of buddies that are all over the United States, and it's just kind of my way of broadcasting that rather than send out 30 pictures. You know, to all my buddies that hunt and everything.
I'm a big story poster. I'll put stuff on my story, but yeah, I should have put that buck on my Instagram this year, but just, I don't know.
It's just not
wasn't
a bad
feeling
thing.
It. No.
No, I get it. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot that I won't even, I guess the reason that I do post more stuff now is because I just try to be like transparent about the fact that like they're not always the monsters, you know, they're not always the big ones. I don't know.
Well, for me, it was more like I had to put it on there just to prove that I killed a buck. I was like, yeah, I put it on my story. Like, that's good enough for me. I'm not just going to make a post just to, you know, prove that I killed a buck, but no, with you, what you got going on, you gotta have some shit to back it up, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's why I started this podcast, just because there's a lot of, how should I say it? I've said it before. There's like a lot of people that are very charismatic on social media, but they don't know shit. I mean, honestly, about the outdoors or hunting or anything, but I mean, they're characters, you know, and they can talk really well, and they're huge people persons and stuff. And you know, it's just like, I don't know, like that's a whole thing in itself right there. And I feel like not a lot of people talk about like those kind of guys. Like, I've listened to a lot of podcasts. Usually go on long drives, I'll listen to a couple different podcasts, and you always hear like these podcast hosts, they'll have a guest on and start talking about social media and start talking about hunting and stuff like that. And then usually throughout the conversation and every one of the episodes, you'll hear the host say, "Oh no, don't even get me started on that." You know? And it's like, why don't you talk about it? Like, why don't you address it? You know, like, why don't you talk about how, you know, social media and people posting, you know, this, I don't know, like a lot of it's garbage and people like applaud them for it, you know, but it's like, nobody wants to say anything about it because one, they don't want to be that guy. And two, you know, for some reason, like, I feel like a lot of people in this industry, in the outdoor industry, feel like they're going to like make millions, and like, that's not going to happen at all. Like, you're not.
Yeah.
Like, the reality of actually making millions of dollars in this game is like winning the lottery. Like,
yeah, the waters are pretty muddy, and people are afraid to just have like a small, true following.
Yeah.
You know, everybody just wants to reach out to everybody else, and no, there's nothing wrong with just having a little niche.
No, I'm totally on board with it. That's exactly like what I'm trying to create. And I've talked to people about like the way that I want to do this podcast, and they're like, dude, it sounds great. It sounds like nothing that has been done before, because like I have the saying where if it looks like shit and smells like shit, it's probably shit. And
yeah.
I don't really care about sponsors or anything like that. I make all my own money. I don't know. I don't need it. I'm not doing this to like try to get famous. I'm just doing this to call people's bullshit. And the funny thing about it is like, so I got this idea and I started messaging people about it. And I came up with, like a little design and all this other stuff. And there were actually a lot of people that like were like, they're pretty much like, I know you. And they're like, I don't know if I want to be on because, you know, I had one guy, he said, he's like, I'm not going to talk shit about people or I'm not going to talk shit about brands and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, that's not what I'm doing. And, you know, he basically said like, he doesn't want to be on it because he doesn't want to bash people. I'm like, I'm not bashing anybody. I'm just, you know, like drawing a line in the sand, you know, I mean, I feel like it has to happen or what? I mean, that's like one of my huge things, which I'm very transparent about is, like adult onset hunters. I have a really hard time with them.
Like, I can think of one and I can think of one in particular that's just fucking making me crack up.
What?
But anyway, go on.
Are you talking about me or are you talking about?
No. Some dude.
Oh.
Keep going.
No, I'm just saying it's like this whole thing where everybody started this whole shit where it's like, oh, you know, hunt how you want, kill what you want, you know, kill what makes you happy, like all this other bullshit and everything. I think that it's going to come to a point with all of these different, like, creative, in quotations, methods that are coming out, you know, with, like, turkey reaping and all that. It's like, you know, now there's people that are saying, like, oh, it's the hardest thing to do in the outdoors. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, it seems pretty easy from all the videos that people post of turkeys running up on them at 3 yards and blowing their head off. Like, it seems like they don't have a chance, you know?
Yeah, turkeys are, like, super stupid when they're that rutted out, I guess you could say, strutted out.
Yeah.
In the breeding season, like, you can slam your car door and they'll go off.
Absolutely. And
that's like a 3 or 4 day window maybe, and those guys are catching it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you're in an area where it's got a high turkey population, like it's so easy. Like it's so easy. I don't even really like turkey hunting that much. It's just something to do in the month of May. And like, that's it. I have a lot of success in it. And I just have to think, like, just because, like, it's really not that difficult. I don't know. What's that?
I think I went turkey hunting, like, once last year. And, yeah, that's because I used to do it with my buddies. They'd always get the early spring tag. And, you know, we'd all go out there one morning on the same morning and call one in, and it was over before it even started. Like, it was cool to do it with your friends and be with the guys, but, you know, really not that exciting of a hunt, not a challenge. You don't learn much.
No, I don't. I mean, this year I called in, man, I don't even know how many, a whole bunch. And within the first 10 minutes of shooting light, had one down on opening day. And it was like, well, all right, there's that. And I mean, we just had a Jake decoy, like one of those little Jake decoys, and it came right into it. I mean, and I was using my, I have a slate call that I use, and that's all I was using is a slate call. And I mean, we weren't in a blind or anything. We were just sitting up against a tree and it just came right in. Like, didn't even, you know, I mean, 20 yard shot done. I don't really get too impressed when people want to talk about killing turkeys and whatnot. It's really, I feel like it's low hanging fruit, and a lot of people can disagree with me and they can say like, oh my God, you know, I was after this specific turkey. And it's like, dude, how do you know? Like,
I mean, go out and try to shoot one with just a mouth call, no decoys, in the Michigan late turkey season, like in May.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's hard hunting. That's fun hunting for me. And I held one bird doing that. Shot at two. I winged up two. They just would not. They cut that field corner. They cut it way too hard. Went to the same spot 2 years in a row, back to back, same setup. Three toms out strutting in a field facing west. And as that, I think it's because as the sun moves into the sky, that sun started to get into their eyes. And so they got to, if you watch turkeys, you'll notice that they'll like change positions in the field as the day gets later.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because they're probably trying to dry out their fans. And I think when that sun gets in their eyes, they can't see. That's like their biggest sense.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, try to cut a turkey off when it's, you know, trying to make that move. And you give them a few clucks and purrs, because that's all you can do. You can't overcall to those birds. They've been called at all spring long. It's bullshit to them.
Yeah.
But they know they got to go that way anyways, so they'll try to give you a look. But that shit is hard. I think I've rolled two birds doing that.
Yeah, I've hunted late season in Michigan a couple times for turkeys, and I mean, it's super slow. Not really much going on. They're not very vocal. I think one year I was the last day of turkey season, and I had this, I'd called it the Jake squad, because it was all a bunch of Jakes, and they were always like in and out. And I was like, well, I don't know, I guess I'm not going to eat a tag. And I think that was like my second year turkey hunting, and the Jakes came through like they always do. And I just picked one and I shot it. I mean, I don't know. It's It can be really tough in the late season of Michigan, but, I mean, it's not impossible, you know.
No, but, I mean, you learn so much about their habits and what they do. You really learn about turkeys. That's my thing about it. That's why I love it so much.
Well, like, what I don't understand is, like, you'll see, like, these people put videos on Instagram or whatever and shit like that of them, like, blowing birds off the roost. Like, is that – I know in most states that's not even legal.
No, I think that's kind of bullshit, too.
Yeah. And, like, I guess the thing that really annoys me is, like, the people that applaud him and they're like, oh, good job, dude. And they're like, do you know how much skill that takes to do that? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, walking into the woods at – I don't know, 4 a.m. and taking a nap and sitting there till the sun comes. Cause like, if you know, right where that bird roosts, like if you see that bird go up at night, he's going to stay there all night. You know, like in the evening, like I've watched them do it when I'm deer hunting. They'll just fly up in like a big maple or something. And they don't, like, if you go out there in the morning to hunt the same spot, you can watch them come back down, you know?
Yeah. They just teeter back and forth all night long, all morning long.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be a miserable way to sleep, but
I think turkeys are miserable in general.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, turkeys have a real tough life.
Yeah, I think they said, I was listening to this one podcast, and they said, it was like a turkey biologist on it, and he said, so out of a clutch, like 1/3 of those will survive to the first year. And then, like, all the way until, like, their fourth year, like, to have a turkey that's over 4 years old in the wild is, like, almost impossible, I guess.
Pretty wild, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's old. Like so that's another thing that I get a huge kick out of is when you'll see people post, they'll be like, oh, this is a 8.5-year-old bird. And it's like, how the fuck is it 8.5? Like, this isn't deer. They were born in the spring there, deer. Dumbass. Like,
yeah,
you know, and for a turkey to be 8 years old, I mean, okay. Like, I think you're full of shit, you know? Like, I don't know. You just have to kind of, like, laugh about it. You're like, that goes against everything. You know, that's like a 1 in, like, 300 million chance that a turkey's going to be that old. I don't know.
I feel like all they really have is their eyesight. I don't think they can smell at all. And I don't know how good their hearing really is, but their eyesight, that's another thing I try to do is like put a little piece of high ground between me and that bird, or like one spot I can think of in particular. These birds were like down in this little valley. I called them up over the top, but a Jake came in first, and he came right up over the top of that hill and boom, saw me right away. That Tom was right behind him. I know it was. My camo pants were like older, super old, like Goodwill camo. And it was like super faded.
Yeah.
Like in the thighs and in the knees. I don't know if it was just that, if I had the sun in my eyes. I don't know, but I got picked off right away. Other than that, it would have been the perfect setup. But things are so damn smart.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. That one Jake that I was telling you about that I shot the last day of the season, like back in, I don't know, this had to be like 2014, something like that. I was hungover, and I went out there with blue jeans and a hoodie on. And I just sat up against his tree and just waiting for these birds to walk by. I think a lot of it was, like, I didn't want to, like, be around my girlfriend that I had at the time. So I just went out there to be by myself. And they just strolled right through and just wham, you know. And I was like, all right, here we go. You know, I mean, granted, they were Jakes. They're not that smart. But it was like, you know, there will always be that guy who – you know, for any season, I feel like that just goes out there with the blue jeans and the flannel and knocks down, you know, something. And everybody's like, oh my God, how did he do that? That's bullshit, you know, or whatever. Like, I just think that, I mean, it happens. I don't know.
Yeah, I've had that happen too. And it's when you least expect it and you have zero expectations. And you're just out there doing your thing. I think a lot of guys are just overthinking it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's one thing that I started doing 2 years ago, something like that. A couple years ago, I started going into hunts and outdoor activities. It could be like fishing. It could be, you know, grouse hunting, whatever. With just zero expectation. Like the only expectation that I had is that I wanted to make it fun. Like, honestly, like, because I can't remember. It was, like, 2020. I think it was 2020. Or, yeah, 2020 or 2021. Either one of those years. I just remember, like, I went hunting, and I was on public. And that was my first year hunting public, so it was 2020. And that was my first year ever hunting public. And I didn't hunt public because, like, the whole like hunting public craze. I hunt in public because I don't have anywhere else to hunt up here if I don't hunt public. Like,
yeah,
I've asked people for permission. Everyone's told me no, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, well, I'll go hunt the public. And the public's not bad up here. It's not great either, but it's not horrible. And I just remember walking through this older clear cut, and it had turned all into briars pretty much. And I was just getting ripped apart. And I was pissed. I was so mad. I was like, you know, I got halfway through it, and it was a pretty big cut. And then I was like, why am I out here? Like, what am I doing? Like, I'm so pissed right now. Like, I'm so mad. All my shit's getting tore up. My legs are just getting destroyed by all these, you know, briars and everything else. I'm like, there's obviously going to be no deer around here because I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm just walking through briars that are, you know, I'm not a tall guy anyways, but these were over my head. And I'm like, this is stupid. And I just got so mad that I think I was out. It was like 3 PM. I went out and I started walking through there with my bow. Like, I don't even know what I was thinking. And I turned around and I went to the truck.
And I went home. And, like, the whole way home, I was just thinking, like, why do you do this if you get so mad? Like, or, like, why do you do it if you're going to do shit like that? You know, as far as, like, walking in. Like, honestly, I don't know what came over me. I have no idea. I guess the wanting to know what was on the other side type. Because I have that a lot where, I mean, I could look at a map all day. But when I put boots on the ground, like, and there's, like, a hill or something, I have to see what's on the other side of the hill. I mean, it's just how I am in general. But, like, ever since then, you know, I was just, like, very serious with myself about it. I was like, you need to, like, rethink if this is what you really want to do for fun. Like, because if you're just going to be pissed all the time, then don't do it anymore. And sell all your shit. And find something else that you can do for fun. You know?
I think a lot of guys are getting that way just because they're not shooting the big buck or killing the turkey or catching the fish. I see guys like that all the time. Hunting, fishing, just shitty attitude. And, you know, I've already caught 3 steelhead that day. Or, you know, I saw 2 different bucks that day and 6 does.
Right.
And this dude's just out there moping around, mad at the world. You know, as soon as you pull up, throw your window down, like, you can just tell right away. They're not out there for the right reasons.
Yeah. Dude, I'll tell you, the only thing that pisses me off, man, about, like, ice fishing and stuff like that, like, I love ice fishing. I love it because my grandpa took me when I was younger, and, you know, it was, like, a thing that me and him had with each other. And I felt, like, super proud to be doing something with my grandpa like that. And, man, like, today I was out ice fishing, and it's a Wednesday, and there's nobody out there, right? I mean, there is. There's a couple guys, but they're, like, we all have, I'm not even kidding, we all have, like, 200-300 yards in between us, right? And this guy comes out late as fuck and just gets right in next to me. I'm like, bro, like, are you kidding me? Like, we have this whole ass bay to ourselves right now, and you're just going to come right up next to me? Like, this is where you want to fish right now. And I'm like, man, like, that stuff pisses me off. Like, that gets me mad, like, right off the rip. Like, and then I start getting the attitude where, you know, I've had people tell me, like, well, you know, I like going and doing it because it's a social thing for me. But I'm like, you know, a lot of people don't like doing it for social reasons. Like, and like, I know, like, all this guy wanted to do was just go out there and strike up a conversation. But I was, like, mean mugging him. Like, but I mean, because, like, what kind of bullshit is that? Like, set your shit up, like, a couple hundred yards away from me because we have the room. And then, like, walk over and talk to me if you want to.
Yeah,
you don't have to fish right up on my shit, man. Like, especially when we have that much room. Like, come on, dude. And that's the stuff that makes me mad. Like, I'm not going to lie, I packed it in earlier than I should have today just because I was like, this is stupid. Like, why the hell are you going to come out here all late and then get right next to me? Like, the guy was literally, like, I don't know, like, 25 yards away from me. And I was just like, he was like, how was the fishing today? And I was just like, I almost want to say fuck you, but I didn't. But it was just like, are you kidding me right now, man?
At least he asked you how the fishing was. I had a guy do that to me on Lake St. Clair up at McNally's.
Yeah?
Yeah, he just came hauling ass out on the ice. I could hear him crunching, and I'm like, you know, what did this guy, like, forget his auger out here? Or what the hell's going on? I had drilled, like, 6 or 8 holes going down along the docks.
Uh-huh.
And I'm catching, you know, I'm catching huge bluegills.
Right.
Some real nice perch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, this dude comes screaming up out of there, sits right down next to me, doesn't say a goddamn word. I'm like, I don't care if you come sit next to me, but, like, at least say something.
Did he have, like, his own auger or anything? He was using your holes?
He had a spud bar, and
that's
what guys do over there.
Right.
They drill a bunch of holes along the docks, but it's like, what are you doing sitting right next to me? Like, we got all this ice, but you're pissed off that I'm in your little spot.
Yeah.
And some other dude was on the canal over, and he starts, you know, hey, how's it going, man? You get any fish today? He goes like, oh, yeah, I got my limit, got my one-man limit way down on the east end. He's like, oh, you done fishing over there? Yeah, I'm done. Well, I might go over there. Dude, like, goes down there a little ways, fishes that for, like, 5 or 10 minutes. I'm like, the best part is I'm catching fish this whole time. I'm pulling up, like, huge gills.
Yeah.
The guy was using, like, like an aluminum arrow ice fishing rod. I don't know if you've seen those.
No.
But he had, like, this big old honking perch spoon on it. And he went on the east end for like 5 or 10 minutes, comes all the way back down by me again, still fishing by me. And then by that time, like, I'm moving. So I go down to where he was, start catching fish out of there.
Yeah.
Same shit. He comes right back over again. The only thing I said to him the whole time, I caught this huge ass perch. I pull it up. He's sitting like two holes down. And by this time, there's even another guy sitting by us. I just pulled that big perch up and I go, now there's a fucking jumbo, boys. And released it. That had to have pissed him off, too. I threw it back. All these guys are trying to catch their limit, which is 25 bluegills.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's 25 perch. I don't know what the mix and match is, but
I think it might be 25 for each in Michigan.
And, you know, on those canals, if you're not catching your limit, like, you're not a fisherman. You ain't shit.
Man.
Like, oh my God. It drove me nuts. Like, you really need to keep that many bluegills? Plus, legally, you can have a limit of fish on you and a limit of fish in your freezer.
Right.
Like, these guys have got to be just filling their freezers with limits and limits and limits, or they're just dumping them out. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So here, dude, here in New York, the crazy thing is, like, I've been trying to look up a, cause it's like a possession law. Like, how many do you have in possession, you know, limited day or whatever there. Like, I have not been able to find a possession law in New York for like bluegill, perch, pike, or anything. It just has the daily limits. And yeah, it's okay. Like, it's super weird, but no, so this was a couple weeks ago. I was out there fishing where I usually fish, and I run, like, in the state of New York, you're allowed to run 7. Like, you could have 6 tip ups and 1 jigging rod, or just 7 tip ups in the water. And,
holy shit.
Yeah. So you can really, like, if you get a couple people, you can really, like, stack in a hole and just rob it. Yeah. So, I was fishing and my tip ups kept going off, but there was no pike. Usually that's like a good indication that a big perch is hitting your shiners. And so I go and I start jigging the hole or whatever. And man, I'm pulling up, not like big perch. I don't know. Like 5, 6, 7 inch perch. And just a whole shit ton of them. And I'm throwing them on the ice because like I'm not going to keep them, but I know that, like, they're not going to die right away if they're on the ice, you know, like they'll, they have some time, you know. And this guy walks over and he was like, man, you're really tearing it up. And I was like, yeah. He's like, well, I'm just trying to get these damn perch out of here so I could put my tip up back down so I could, you know, hopefully catch a pike, because it's a pretty good pike spot. And so after I quit getting bites, I maybe had like a dozen perch on the ice. So I had a hole like 30 yards away. I just pick up all the perch and I go and I put them in the other hole and let them go. And this guy's like, you just let all those go? And I was like, yeah, why? And he was like, well, you know, you could have fucking said something. Like, I'd never even met this guy in my life. And I was like, okay. Like, well, I don't understand what the big deal is. Like, it's crazy that people walk off the lake with perch that size. There's nothing on it.
Dude, I don't want to clean that many fish. I mean, you, like, at about the third fish, I'm already covered in slime and not getting as much meat as I thought I was going to get. And, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why these guys are going out on the ice. Like you said, like, it's a cool thing to say that you got your limit. And here in New York, it's like 40. I think like 40 for perch is like the limit. But like, what are you going to do with a 5 or 6 or 7 inch perch? Like that, those are tiny, man. And I've seen so many people just throw them in the bucket this year. And another thing that I've seen this year too, that I didn't see in the last couple of years of fishing up here is like, I've never seen more people on the ice than I did this year.
Yeah.
It is crowded. Like on the, I don't even fish on the weekends anymore. There's so many people out there.
I think it's like a COVID thing. People are getting outdoors more.
It might be. But
I see it too.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, and just the shit that I hear, you know, because you can hear it really well on the ice. And just like the shit I hear, like people saying, and like, I mean, I got up, it was like a Sunday morning. I was like, fuck it, it's good. Like, it's a good day to go fishing, so I'll get out there early. And I was maybe like the third person on the ice. By 8:30, there was probably over 100. And guys were out there, and they were catching like these tiny pike, and they were like, wow, just going like ape shit, man. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like what happened? Like what happened to just being quiet about it? Like I catch a big pike, I just pull it out of the hole and like go take it over by my sled if I'm going to keep it. Don't say anything. And then like I've had people come up, they're like, oh, I saw you from, you know, down the way, you caught a big pike. And I was like, yeah, it's right over there. And they look at it, they're like, damn. I'm just like, it's really not that big though. Like if we threw these back and we waited, we could have like monster pike that we can catch. It'd be super cool, but nobody will ever do it.
Well, those guys are out there with zero expectations. Half of them are out there just getting fucked up. And when they do catch something, it just blows their mind.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. There's definitely a lot of that going on. Like, well, like the crazy thing is like, I've had a couple different conversations this year with people out on the ice, and they've all been, well, except for a couple guys that were super chill, super cool guys. The majority of them were like super defensive about being there. And I've had a couple of them say like, well, we've been fishing here for the past 10 years. And I'm like, bro, no, you have not, dude. Like I've been out here for the past 3 years now and I've never seen you.
Like, yeah.
This is your first, you know, like I just don't understand like why go into it lying about it. Like,
yeah.
And the cool dudes that I've had really good conversations with a couple of days ago, there was this older guy just retired and I was fishing and he sets up and, comes over, starts talking to me, you know, whatever. Flag goes off. I got a pike, and I pull it in. And, you know, he's like, oh, like, what's your setup like? All this other stuff. So I showed him. I'm like, look, dude. And I told him, like, straight up. I was like, look, dude, the spot you're in is not a good spot. So, I mean, if I were you, I'd move it. I don't think you're going to catch anything there. And he's like, how do you know? And I was like, dude, I've been fishing here for, like, a couple of years now. And, like, this spot that I'm in and a couple other spots out here, and I even pointed him, like, in the right direction. But I don't know. I just think the guy was out there just to be out there, you know. He didn't move his shit or anything, but I caught 3 more pike that were all over 25 inches, and I walked him over one. I said, you want this, you know? And he was like, yeah, man. He was like, I was just getting ready to pack it up because I'm not catching anything. I've been out here for 4 hours. Like, dude, you could have this one, man. Like I'll be good to people that are, like, actually decent human beings.
Yeah. Like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, like the douchebags, though, dude, I can't handle it. Can't deal with it.
Like, no, like I caught a couple nice perch the one day, and like you said, I just threw them on the ice because, you know, with perch, next thing you know, you get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, but I only got those two and gave them to this dude that he came up and he said, what's up, asked what I was getting. Him and I made small talk, and then he went a couple holes down, and then he was getting ready to leave. So yeah, here, man, you want these fish? Guess they're not biting today.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah, he had a few fish. You know, he was taking home, like, I think he said he had, like, 10 fish in his pail. So, you know, that just topped him off perfect.
Right. No, like, absolutely. Like, I've definitely met some cool people this year, but, man, have I had some run-ins with some just straight terrible human beings. And
yeah, honestly.
Yeah, you know, it's this whole, like, man, I don't know. Like, I don't want to say that. I don't know. I don't want to, like, put a label on them, but it's like, I truly do believe that, like, social media and shows like Meat Eater and stuff like that. Like, I don't even watch Meat Eater on Netflix or anything. I know, like, a lot of people do, and they think it's super cool. And, you know, I feel like a lot, it's like a lot of the older guys with the disposable income, and they're getting bored, and they're like, man, like, oh, that looks really fun. I want to do that. But they go in with, like, this mentality of, like, have to be the best, have to be the best, have to win. Like, it's a competition. It's like, dude, there's no fucking competition out here. Like,
yeah, I know.
Like, you're going against yourself, if anybody. Like,
yeah.
I have a personal goal. Like, I want to catch a 36-inch plus pike. That's going to take some time out here. Like,
oh, yeah. People don't appreciate that. People aren't willing to. Like, when I'm fishing, I fish because it makes me focus. It makes me slow down. It makes me focus. Like, I probably have ADHD, ADD, whatever.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Yeah, dude, you got something, man. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, most of my day, it's like fucking, I'm just, you know, daydreaming. Mind's running a million miles an hour. And when I fish, it's just like everything slows down and I can finally focus and have a clear head. Same thing with hunting too, but that's what I'm out there for. That's, you know, challenge myself with that and learn and slow down, and everybody else just wants it now. Now. They're not even looking at the water that they're sitting in. They're not even reading the currents, reading the depths, you know, chasing the schools. They just have zero idea what's going on.
Yeah. And like, and they don't want to take the time to actually learn. I think, yeah, like, that's one thing that with this specific spot that I really enjoy fishing up here a lot, like, I've truly taken the time to learn it. And I've had people come up to me this year who were out there the years before, and, you know, they asked me, they're like, why do you always fish over here? Like, there's no fish over here. I'm like, yes, there are. And they're like, bullshit. Like, this one guy, he was like, I see you over here all the time. And I'm like, yeah, dude, because I have luck over here. I mean, yeah. And then I'll show him, like, a pike, and he's like, you caught that over here? I'm like, I'm not lying. Like, you know, because I know the guy's not going to come hop on my spot because he thinks his spot's the best in the world, you know? So,
oh yeah,
you know, it's like, you know, that's fine. But I've definitely had people come ask me, like, why are you always over here? There's no fish over here. And I'm like, dude, today I caught, I don't know, half a dozen gills that were about 8 inches. I threw them all back because I was like, you know, I need at least a dozen to keep them.
Yeah.
And I caught a couple nice perch too, threw all those back, threw that pike back. You know, I have like these personal goals with myself that I'm setting, you know, like I really want a 36 inch pike that I caught, you know, like 36 plus, like that's hard here. And you really have to put your time in. You have to learn the water. Like you just talked about, it's, and it takes dedication. You're not going to go out in water like this and get it done on a day. Not going to happen.
No, like I started catching steelhead in the harbor over here. I was catching shit on my fly rod,
yeah,
and then, you know, just sight fishing them. And then, yeah, what the hell did I learn doing that? Nothing.
Right.
So I couldn't see them anymore, and like zero fish, not getting shit. Well, and then I started looking in the harbors, and there's like bubblers in there to keep the ice down. So I'm like, okay, well, it's probably no different than fishing a stream. You know, I start fishing the seams and the soft water and the bubbles, the foam, and start picking up fish. But that took me, you know, 4, 5, 6 trips out there without catching fish. So finally I was like, all right, whoa, slow down, focus, think about what the hell you're doing, and sure as shit, start getting fish.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I remember the first handful of times I fished the spot that I fish religiously now. I didn't catch shit. I didn't catch nothing. A couple small, tiny gills and small perch. And I think the first pike I ever caught out of there was, oh, it was like 19 inches. And I don't know. Like, I was so stoked to catch that. I think that was like, that was in like 2020, I think, when I caught that. And I don't know, like after that, I really took the time to like, think about like, okay, like everything I'm doing is not working. So something's, you know, I have to change it up. I have to change how I do this. And eventually I figured it out. Like, I think I'm pretty proficient at it. I mean, ice fishing's not super hard. It's actually pretty easy once you slow down and you actually take the time to learn it. I don't think there's anything super tough about it at all. Patience, I guess. Patience is one thing a lot of people don't have.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, man. Like I say, though, like, people want to get in. They want to get the biggest fish. They want to take pictures with it. And then they want to put it on, like, social media. That's what I feel like a lot of them do.
That's what it is, yeah. Nobody's enjoying it.
Yeah. They, like, so up here, this year, the rules changed for pike on the, any bay or any river that flows into Lake Ontario, all that, like, they changed the limit from 5 to 3, and the minimum length for a northern has to be 22 inches. But last year it was 18, and every other year it's been 18, and the limit's been 5. But this year they changed it, and there were guys that were like, oh, yeah, it's 18, keep it. And, like, and then, like, they were right next to me, and I had to say something. I was like, the limit changed, or I was like, the size limit changed, and the guy – this guy is like, I don't know. He's got like this red hanging out of his mouth, and he looks at me and he was like, the hell it did. And like, just throws, like, spikes the fish on the ice. Like,
oh fuck yeah,
dude. Yeah. As if he's like, like showing off to me that, you know, he's like a big bad fisher guy. I'm like, bro, I'm not out here to have a dick measuring contest with you, but I know if the CO comes out here, like, your ass is the first one getting a ticket. So, like, it's just crazy, like, you know, and I see it on social media a lot. I know I'm, like, big into social media with following just dumb shit, I guess. But, like, people getting in trouble for totally avoidable shit. Like, people getting in trouble for poaching and all this other shit, or exceeding the limit on whatever. And it's like, dude, if you would actually, like, if there's one thing that my grandpa taught me, it was – when you go buy your license, you get the damn fish manual, or, you know, the hunting manual, whatever one it is, or if they both come in both, you pick that up. Before you go out, you read through the damn thing. Like,
yeah,
that'll save you a whole lot of pain if you just chill out and fucking read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was crazy because I was talking to a couple other guys out on the ice this year, and one guy asked me, he was like, so I heard that the size limit and the limit changed. I was like, yeah, it did. It went from 5 to 3, and it went from 18 to 22. And he was like, so it is true. And I was like, it's absolutely true. Like, you could look it up in the book. And he's like, I did. I couldn't find it. I was like, I feel like now more than ever, a lot of states are getting really big on these, on the Great Lakes. And
yeah, they are.
Yeah. And I know, like,
say if they're changing the pike limit like that for shit going into Lake Ontario, like, that's kind of weird.
Well, I also know a lot of it's like, cause there's the Great Lakes Treaty. It's like a Great Lakes Pact. That's, you know, I think it's Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New York, and Canada are all involved in this, like, Great Lakes Treaty. So they all have to, like, agree upon certain things that go on in the Great Lakes. And they have, like, this huge board just to make sure that, you know, all these limits are set, everything's set like this. Like, if fish here are sucking, like, how can we make it better? Like, it's pretty interesting. Actually, I learned about that at Lake State when I took a watersheds class, and I didn't really think about how much actually went into it. But
yeah,
no, it's a big deal.
Never heard of that.
Oh yeah. And this is like, it's a national thing, obviously, or international thing. Cause yeah, Canada's involved with it as well, you know? So I don't know. It's just crazy that people don't even take the time to chill out and read, just skim through shit, you know? And it's pretty intense. Everyone just wants to get out there and get the big one.
I know. Same thing with deer hunting too.
Yeah, well, that's like, I fished this lake the other day, and it's an inland lake. I was the only one out there. It was super sick lake. But the pike were ass. Like, none of them were over 20 inches. And there is, like, thousands of them in there. Loaded with these tiny pike. And
stunned.
What's that?
Just stunned out.
Yeah. I mean, and there's, like, yeah. I was jigging in there, too, and, like, not catching shit. Like, they were eating out of house and home. And it's just...
That's wild.
Yeah, like, I would rather those people go to a lake like that and fish it out, you know? I mean, tons of action.
That's what, like, has to happen. They need to take all those pike out, and it sounds like a bait fish problem, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, if you just go all the way down the food chain, like, something's not clicking there.
No, I just think that, you know, the lake just got out of hand, and now, like, obviously there's some sort of cannibalism going on in the lake, or the pike wouldn't be there. Like, they got to be eating, you know, other baby pike and spawning and stuff like that. Like, I've heard of this problem happening in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan before, and they had to kill the whole lake. Like, they just, I don't know, they put chemicals in it or whatever and just kill it and then repopulate it. It's pretty intense, though.
At a lake by us, it was bluegills, just tiny-ass bluegills. Then I think they put, like, tiger muskies in there.
Oh, no shit.
To eat all the bluegills. And Eurasian milfoil. And then they ended up just nuking the whole thing. Not a good deal.
Yeah, no, it could happen really quick. Really quick. In a matter of years with a lake, for sure. But... Yeah, man, we are pretty much at our time limit right now. I'm trying to keep this, like, around an hour or so. We're at hour five right now, hour six.
Hour five, nice.
Yeah, man, but no, it was definitely good talking to you. I definitely hit a lot of things that I wanted to talk about, and it was definitely a really good conversation. I know we talk, like, maybe, like, four or five times a year or something like that on the phone, but it's kind of cool, though, you know, like, we met in college, and then still stay in contact. You're pretty much one of the only guys I met from college that I still talk to. So.
Yeah, we got to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. You should get your ass out here and go turkey hunting or something. Dude, tags are super cheap, too, for out of state. They're like 40
bucks. I wanted to come out ice fishing, but I just put new tires on my truck, and then I'm going to Pittsburgh this weekend. We'll have to try to make something work for turkey hunting.
Yeah. I got the spot, dude. Trust me. I got the spot.
Let's do it. Let's go late season, only a mouth call, no decoys.
Easy. Yep, you can definitely do that. You'll get one that morning, and then you'll be like, damn, what am I going to do for the rest of the time?
Right?
Yeah, I swear. No, this spot is loaded. I'm not kidding. It's stupid. Yeah. but yeah, man. No, it's good talking to you, dude. I'm going to jump off here and man.
Let's do it again.
For sure, dude. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yep. Talk to you later.
All right. See you, man.